Praise God for the gospel. This morning, let's remember and proclaim Jesus through the Lord's Supper by turning in our Bibles to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Here we'll see how a proper remembrance of Jesus will manifest in our interactions with one another and ultimately in our relationship to our judge, King Jesus. So turn in your Bibles to James chapter 2, verse 8, and read with me. James 2, verse 8. James writes, "If you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You're doing well. But if you show partiality, which is not loving your neighbor, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in even one point becomes accountable for all of it. For he who said, 'Don't commit adultery,' also said, 'Don't murder.' But if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law." You see, there's one lawkeeper, or one lawgiver and judge, Jesus Christ. And we must not relate to or think of the Bible and the way that God has for us to live as just a bunch of rules. Jesus has given the Christian a standard to live by. And that standard can be summed up as, one, love your neighbor, and two, or one, love God, and two, love your neighbor. And if we fail at even one point, we are accountable to the whole law because we stand in opposition to the lawgiver. If we fall at even one point, we are guilty before the perfect judge. This isn't theoretical. This isn't merely doctrinal. Each one of us has fallen in far more than one point. You have fallen, I have fallen in far more than one point. And we're convicted by God in His perfect law as transgressors. We need to sit under the reality of verses 8 through 11. Everybody must feel conviction over our inability to keep the royal law. And we must recognize what being convicted by the perfect judge means. The gavel in the courtroom of heaven has come down. Lawbreaker. And the sentence, death. And now the perfect judge stands. And he looks at me, the convicted one, facing the just sentence, an eternity of death and torment in hell. And I, the guilty one, drop my head in shame as I come to realize that my sentence is just and right. For I have stood in defiance and sinned against the perfect one, my Creator. And in my seeming hopeless condemnation, I see that the judge has something else to say. The holes in his outstretched hands are unmistakable, as are the scars on his forehead. His robe hangs loose on his left side, revealing the gaping hole where a Roman soldier's spear pierced the spotless lamb, causing blood and water to flow. This perfect lawgiver and judge, who at the cross showed himself to be Savior, he looks at me with loving eyes and says, verse 12, "So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment's without mercy to the one who show no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This innocent judge who did fulfill the law perfectly died on a cross, condemned as a lawbreaker in the place of lawbreakers who would trust in him so that we could be treated with mercy. The righteous became sin so that sinners could become righteous. Jesus died to free us from our condemnation before the law and to give us freedom to now keep the law. Commentator Douglas Moo writes, "No longer is God's law a threatening, confining burden. For the will of God now confronts us as a law of liberty, an obligation that is discharged in the joyful knowledge that God has both liberated us from the penalty of sin and given us in his Spirit the power to obey his will." MacArthur adds, "This is a law which frees those who place their faith in Jesus Christ from their bondage, judgment, and punishment of sin, and brings us to eternal freedom and glory. This law frees us to obey and serve God, to live faithfully and righteously according to his word, and that by the power of his indwelling Spirit, it frees us to follow our Lord willingly out of love." So much like Jesus taught in the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18, the logic of this passage is, if you have been saved by grace, live like it. James and Jesus are not content to let you and I have a faith that is between you and God merely. No, your faith will be shown by the way that you live with others. In a minute, we're going to take a piece of bread, reminding us of Jesus' body given, and a cup pointing to his blood spilt. We will recall his mercy towards us, made right through his death on the cross. And this remembrance must call you afresh to live with love and mercy toward your neighbor, and to live with love toward God. To the one freed in the gospel to follow the law of liberty, who lives mercifully towards his neighbor, God's judgment will be merciful. Saved, our sin on Jesus, declared righteous, an eternity of blissful fellowship with God in heaven. And the warning of verse 13, look down at it, it's sobering. Judgment is without mercy to the one who hasn't shown mercy. When a man lives without mercy to others, he simply shows off the fact that he himself has never responded aright to the immeasurable mercy of God. Christian, is there anywhere in your life where you are not living in love towards your neighbor, where you, the one who's been shown so much mercy, are being unmerciful? If so, remembering Jesus and his mercy toward you, this is the time to repent. This turning from your sin, it's not to earn God's mercy, but it's a result of receiving it. So then when the bread and juice come, eat and drink in remembrance of Jesus. And if you will not turn from known sin, you're declaring something very serious about the nature of your faith and your relationship to God. Please let God's word call you out of your sinful stupor to faith-filled repentance. For judgment is without mercy to the one who showed no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So trust in God's love and mercy towards you in the gospel. Be loving and merciful towards others. But if you won't repent of known sin, please just let the bread and juice pass by. And similarly, if by your own admission you've not repented from your sins and placed your faith in Jesus for forgiveness of sins, let the bread and juice pass. You stand before the judge, condemned. But remember, the judge is the Savior, and he offers mercy. So believe. Today could be the day of salvation. Please talk to me, one of the other elders, or whoever brought you, about this good news of the merciful judge. However, if you're not a Christian, please let the bread and juice pass. This is a time for Christians to remember the one who became sin for us, making us righteous, freeing us from sin, and giving us life in him. Men, please come and serve us. Take communion on your own. I'll close us in prayer.